Power to Protect, brought to you by Sunshine 106.8, and the IBI is funded by Cumashun na Mban with the television license fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more info.
Hello there, good evening. I'm Carol Dooley and you're very welcome to join me now for another edition of Ours to Protect, our weekly series on climate change and climate action. Dublin City Council recently launched their second climate action plan, and Sabrina Decker will be telling us how the council is preparing Dublin for the known impacts of climate change. For as our Jane McNamara recently found out, we in Dublin are very aware of and concerned about climate change and the negative impacts on the environment.
Yes, concerned about climate change, especially considering the weather is just so sporadic and temperatures have been up and down all over the place.
Yes, I am concerned about it. Mostly pollution and I suppose climate warming. It's a separate issue.
The glaciers are all breaking down and the sea level is going higher, and then you have the 42 degrees along the Mediterranean during the summer months last year.
Yeah, I'd be concerned about all of it. The rising temperatures, sea level is something. Someone said that like in 30 or 40 years time a lot of like coastal Dublin's going to be underwater, so that's a real concern. And I would worry, yeah, especially for like, I don't have kids, but my nieces and nephew, I do worry about what their future will look like.
Well, Dublin City Council are setting out to ensure that we won't be underwater. They have just launched their climate action plan, Climate Neutral Dublin 2030. And Sabrina Decker is with us now to tell us how the council is preparing Dublin for the known impacts of climate change. Sabrina, thank you for joining us. So nice to have you back with us. So this is the second climate action plan. So this follows on, obviously, from the first. How does it differ?
So the first climate action plan was produced for 2019 to 2024, and that was out of the National Adaptation Framework. But we took ours a step further and did mitigation and adaptation together. So it was a climate action plan. And when the Climate Action and Low Carbon Development Act was amended in 2021, there is a provision for local authorities, a statutory requirement for them to produce climate action plans. We had 24 months from February 24th, 2023, to produce a new climate action plan, and that is the product we have now.
So can you go through it for us and just tell us the main points?
So the main point is we're responding to the national climate objective of 51% reduction in emissions and also building our resilience. So that means preparing the city for the known and known unknowns of climate change. So we know flooding is a risk. We know that Urban Heat Island is going to be a problem for us. So I know we all like warmer summers, but sometimes warmth doesn't come with good things. It's also the frequency intensity of events is going to change. So we know that sometimes the rainfall is going to be heavier at times. And usually we're used to that mist that's not so regular anymore. So it's the frequency and intensity. Those events are going to change. As our engineers always say, like right now it's a 1 in 100 year event, but the more you gamble, in a sense, the chances go up. So that's kind of what's happening, is if we don't reduce the amount of fossil fuels in the atmosphere, these events are going to increase. So that's what it's trying to do. It's also trying to do it in a manner that is just, which means that it's equitable, that we share the challenges of this equitably with everyone. We don't leave anybody behind, that we consider the benefits as well of like how we can transition to a green economy and how those can actually support new job creation, because jobs are going to change. How do we change so that they're sustainable and that they don't harm the environment and that they help people as well, so we maximize those co-benefits.
Which sounds great, absolutely, but I don't for a second underestimate the challenges of all that and making it happen.
It's going to be challenging. So that's the other good thing about this plan, is we're part of the EU mission for 100 climate neutral and smart cities. So we need to work together as a city as a whole. So it's not just the city council, it's business owners, it's academia, it's you as citizens. Everybody has to come together to deliver this. And we have to work with our neighboring local authorities and national government to move this forward. So it's going to be a lot of conversations about how do we do things and rolling up our sleeves together and moving forward.
What would you hope? What's the plan for achievement by 2030?
I like our vision in the document where it's just the city's greener. That would be a huge achievement for us, that we have a lot more green infrastructure, that we have a lot of better walking and cycling infrastructures, that people can move around the city comfortably, to have chats, to go about their day to day, that kids can go to school safely without parents worrying, that it's more enjoyable. I think that's the other thing about climate action. It's about quality of life and preserving it and making it good for everybody to live in the city.
And the people of Dublin listening in, what changes are they going to notice? Are we going to notice?
We're going to notice, like, obviously we have the other transport plan coming out, so they'll notice less cars in the city, hopefully less private cars. They'll notice more people walking, more people cycling, more kids playing in the streets, like, and not just the city centre, but, you know, in our neighbourhoods, like, and that space is kind of claimed back, but it's also a great place place for social gatherings that, you know, you get to know your neighbor. And the other thing I'd say is sound and smells. The city will smell different. Like, I don't know how often we notice, like, the exhaust fume isn't a great smell. So hopefully it'll smell nicer, especially in spring as flowers come in. You'll notice those smells and you notice the sound of birds and everything.
Which, again, sounds great. I'm just trying to get my head around how is this going to happen. And I suppose I have to bring up, you know, the potential impact, say, for Dublin City Centre, for people working in Dublin City Centre, or people who rely on their cars to get around at the moment. Okay, we've got our public transport system, but that has its challenges too.
And that's, I think, people feeding into that public consultation process, because the bus isn't our responsibility. We support the NTA in delivery of bus connects. We'll be supporting the NTA in other large transport projects as well. Like, our main focus is those active travel routes and making it easy for people to cycle. And I mean, there are challenges around safety and security of cycling, but we all do kind of have to, when we're asking each other, sometimes we have to look out for each other.
And is this climate action plan now up and running? Has it already begun?
A lot of this work is ongoing, and I think that's the thing. It doesn't start or stop with a plan. Like, a lot of these projects have been happening. So, for example, one action that's in there is the public lighting upgrade. That's been going on for a few years now, and it'll continue on for a few years. So that's changing the energy demand on our public lighting and changing them to LED, so they're lower demand on energy. A lot of the active travel routes are already happening.
So it's all systems go.
All systems go.
If anybody wants to find out more information about this, Sabrina, where do they go?
It is on DCC's website. And then you look down at Environment Transport, there is the Climate Action Plan there for you to...
Okay, lovely. Sabrina Decker from Dublin City Council, thank you very much for joining us this week.
Thank you, Carol.
And that concludes this week's Hours to Protect. If you have missed any of our previous episodes, you can listen back on our website, sunshineradio.ie/hours to protect, and you'll get all the information on the Hours to Protect initiative there too. I'm Carol Dooley. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join me for another edition just after 7 o'clock next Monday evening.
Hours to Protect, brought to you by Sunshine 106.8, and the IBI is funded by Cumashun na Mban with the television licence fee. Check out hourstoprotect.ie for more info.